Cascade Hoops Talk, Billy D. This is our fourth day of Christmas. I hope you've enjoyed the shows up to this point. Today, very special guest, a very good friend of mine, CT, played basketball at Oregon Tech. Ended up meeting him in the stands a few years later at road games. And so glad he agreed to join us today. Welcome, CT. Thanks for being on the show.
I'm glad to be here, and I am been thankful for our friendship, and I've had so much fun being at games with you and all the fun road trips. It's just been quite an experience.
Well, I think my favorite story when I think of CT is my youngest son, a huge Oregon Tech fan, and he used to love to go to the games with me, and he used to tell me all the time, oh, he's my favorite player, talk about CT. And he used to stand outside a lot of schools. You guys have probably seen this, where the players have to almost go through the concession stand area to get to the court, and he'd always loom in there because CT would always slap hands with him, never would miss. And Devin, my youngest son, he thought that was the coolest thing in the world, CT, that you always slapped hands with him.
Well, that's nice to hear. It means a lot. It always meant a lot to me to just thank fans for being there to watch us play. We got to do something so special out there and have that kind of support and from, you know, parents and adults and people of the community and kids. It always just was important to me to thank them for that.
So you're one of, I don't know the exact number, but about 350 basketball players who had the privilege to play Oregon Tech Hustlin' Owl basketball under the tutelage of probably one of the best coaches to ever coach the game, well over 1,000 wins, Danny Miles. What the heck was it like to be part of that program?
Well, it was a really, really special atmosphere. The community is so involved in, you know, big arena. You don't understand things when you're younger to the magnitude of what you've learned from it, you know, down the road in life. I'm thankful for it. Great memories, great learning experiences. I've been blessed in life, and so many of those memories and memories before that time from basketball has been the important things in work and growing. I'm just really thankful. Played with a lot of really good players. I was not one of them, but just some real special talent people. We see the product of their children today out there playing the game. I'm just a big fan. I've always enjoyed being a fan almost as much as being a player, you know, in these later years. It was a special time.
You know, you talk about being a fan. I spent many, many hours in Danny Miles Court, even before it was Danny Miles Court, watching games where people were just packed right up to the end lines. You actually got to play in that atmosphere. I mean, what was that like when they, you know, 2,700 crazy Klamath Falls Easy and screaming?
When you have the privilege of being able to play in that kind of environment, and I don't have to, people will understand that have been able to do that, but there's nothing like making a big play and hearing 2,000 people scream for you. It's just, it's an energy that is just absolutely edible. And I made a lot of mistakes too, but it's just really a special time to have that kind of support from fans. It's just a neat, neat atmosphere.
You know, CT, you've heard me tell the story 100 times, I'm sure. But you know, as a young man, my dad would always go up there back, Harvey Seabree played and back in that day, but there was just no fans. I mean, we were like literally the only Oregon Tech fans in town. And then when Danny came and he kind of turned the program around, I think it was in the second season that Danny was there. Oregon Tech had lost one game. I think they were like 18-1, and they had lost up at Cheney to Eastern Washington, and Eastern was coming to town, and the town was completely split. Half the town thought they were going to get it handed to them and go back to obscurity, and the other half of the town thought, hey, these guys are the real deal. And that there was no, the fire marshal wasn't, you know, you didn't have to worry so much about those kind of things back in the day. And everybody was just literally packed standing up to the end lines. And the place was just insane. And Oregon Tech ended up winning that game in overtime. And it was so hot. It was unbelievably hot in there. And I will never forget looking around those stands after I had taken so much grief from classmates for so many years about being an Oregon Tech fan, looking around those stands that night, everybody on their feet, and Oregon Tech beat Eastern Washington that night. And that was the night that Oregon Tech basketball became Klamath Falls basketball. CT, I will never, ever in my life forget that game. What was the most special game you ever played in Danny Miles Court?
You know, the special moments I think about playing there. I as much as I love being at home and how exciting that was too, I thrived on like the road too, and I just enjoyed all the different venues and the opposition crowds, and just I always thought that brought energy. Being on Danny Miles Court, and you would remember this, those packed houses on the end, and we're at 5,000 feet, and basketball's wintertime, and we had snow, and it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, but like you said, it was so hot in there. They'd open those end doors that go towards the football field and the stadium there, and the doors are wide open. It's 10 degrees outside and 110 degrees inside, and what an exciting time. I mean, I think about special moments. You probably remember it even more, the specifics. I was a part of Danny Miles' 400th win at Simpson College in Redding, California. And then to this day, it's the longest game ever played for Oregon Tech, because this was before videos and you could watch this stuff online, but we threw an alley-oop pass and there was a major dunk and it just shattered the backboard beyond the pale. This is like a Saturday night and now there's no backboard to finish this game, and they had to get the athletic director had to make phone calls and get a high school opened up. And so this game took like, I don't know if it was 4 hours before we got it, you know, finished. But that was number 400. That's, you know, something neat to be a part of.
And that was, and you told me you don't remember this, but that was actually ESPN's play of the day. And you were the one who lobbed it to Tyrone Holmes. And I think it's hilarious that you don't remember that. I wish I had that on video at one point.
Being humped, but I honestly remember more because the whole backboard, I mean the whole Marianne came apart. And I remember specifically scraping the glass off. Billy Giggins was underneath the basket when this happened, or underneath the glass, and he just was covered. He looked like a Christmas tree. He was just covered in glass, just trying to wipe it off. And I said, "Don't know, you're going to cut yourself." And we're tapping it all off, and he had all over his hair. And oh man, but yeah, that was what an event. You just can't write a script like that. It's just unbelievable. That's what's so special about this stuff.
You talked about playing on the road. Where was your? There was some really interesting places to play. Where was your favorite place?
You know, back then, the rivalry with College of Idaho, the rivalry with Southern Oregon. Of course, everything was different back then. There was a District 2, so we were immensely kind of bigger. Since then, you know, there's been the NCAA Division 3 break-off of quite a few of those teams that were in the league back then. That hay barn at Linfield back in those days, wow. Just, you know, now they've got just unbelievable, beautiful facility, but I got to play in that old 1919 hay barn. That was a tough place. Just some of those, you know, that's what's so special about this small college thing. It's just every place is different, and it's just a lot of fun.
I remember going
Eastern
to games.
Oregon was always, yeah.
I remember going to games in that old Linfield gym. You almost had to take a flashlight so you could find your seat.
Oh, man, that was just...
And you started to mention Eastern. That place could get really interesting, couldn't it?
That's always been tough. Of course, Warner Pacific has had their place. That was always a tough place to be. We've got teams in the conference now that weren't, that, you know, back then, so I didn't know. Corbin, I specifically remember Corbin University, the greatest dunk I've ever seen in a game came in that, and I guarantee you the rafters of that structure are still rattling from that dunk. Those Steve Adams back then, that was probably single-handedly the greatest game I ever got to be a part of. I was on the bench when that took place, and I remember just sitting back just in amazement of what I just witnessed. It was a game that was flawless. The saddest thing of that game is a playoff game. The saddest thing about it was somebody had to lose that we came out on top of that, but it was our player, Charles Webb, was, I have never seen somebody elevate to that level of play. It was just flawless, and it was beautiful. And that was a special, special memory to be a part of that. I remember talking to, there was a guy named Eric Christian that was a starting forward for them, and I ran into him, played a little city ball or something once with him. He goes, Chuck, you guys just played unbelievable. I said, Eric, you guys did too. And he looked at me, he goes, I know. It was just the greatest experience we'd been a part of. It was just an unbelievably high-level game. But, you know, there's just those memories. I'll never forget those things. I got to be a part of 50 of those wins, of 1,000-plus of Coach Miles' career. I got to play in a District 2 championship over at College of Idaho in the old arena they had then, before the facility that they have now, and that's just a big environment. We lost that game. I didn't get to go to Kansas City. But just a lot of special memories. A lot of high-level basketball played.
You know, CT, just a couple of years ago, all the names of the players who played for Danny went up above the reserve section at Oregon Tech. And, of course, your name is amongst them. You know, just talk about what it meant to you, what playing for Danny Miles, and I know that Danny Miles is a very good friend of yours still to this day. Talk about what that has meant to your life.
Well, you don't understand those things at the time because you're just a young mind of mush. And you, as you mature, you look back at those things and you go, wow. I think about just the locker rooms, the team experiences, the road trips, the home environment there, what was a staff. I'm a real history guy. I love the history, and you got to see things growing up there that people just don't understand how much knowledge you have of what has taken place, and the history even before that turning point you talked about, and the era there back to the 60s, you know, and before. The things in life that I just learned from that stuff, those experiences, those things I use, like I said, so much of some successful things that I do, it all comes back to those days and the things I learned from being part of a team, what it takes to succeed, what's expected of you. Everybody wants to know what's somebody's secret to success and this or that. I always like to hear about how they fought through the adversity of difficult times. That's where I learn a lot from, because we all go through those same amount of things. And, you know, when you do things right, when you prepare, it doesn't always go your way, but that's how you get through stuff, and it all comes out better for you in the long run. And you look back on it and you go, huh, yeah, you know, that's why you got to where you were at, is because you stayed with the fundamentals and the program and the basis and the way you do things, the way you see things, the way you got to look in the mirror and figure out, you know, the guy looking back at you is where maybe some changes need to be made. And you get that figured out, and it all comes together. And life is wonderful. And so much of it for me has come back to days of playing basketball at many different levels, but those experiences there just, you know, finished my career. The day the horn sounds, the last time you're on the court with a loss and you know you're never going to be able to play organized basketball again, it's a sad day. I really hope, with all this craziness that's gone on, there's a lot of players that have been handed a gift from God, and it's called eligibility. Life is going to go on and on, but there's one thing that you can never get back, and that is eligibility. And I hope a lot of them take advantage of that, because the last time you walk off the court, you get it later down the road too, that you really miss that. And I hope a lot of them take advantage of it.
Boy, that's a really good point, because once those 4 years are gone, then they're gone.
When you're, as a man, when you're 24 and 25, you're stronger, a better player, and you're done playing. And man, would anybody trade everything they had to have another year of eligibility when you're 23, 24, 25, because you're like way better, and you don't get that until you're there. And you go, oh man, it's in too much of a rush to, because you always want to play. You don't ever want to sit out or redshirt. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best thing there is, the redshirt season, because you only get better. But Yeah. That's just a perspective.
So since you left the game, you remain just a huge basketball fan. I mean, at all levels, high school, JC, of course, NAI, you know, what is it about specifically small college basketball that draws you to that game?
I'm just surprised and amazed at the talent level. And going forward every year, you can't, you know, it's hard to compare one era to another era. The reality of it is kids are so athletic and so good anymore. I'm just shocked. I'm sitting there. I think about you and I. We were watching. We had a player, Kim Valve, best teammate and player. He just graduated, but he was, you know, our 12th man. He never got very many minutes. And can you remember that game where we watched it? I don't know if it was senior night or what, but what was he, 6 foot or something like that? And he got a lane to the basket and threw it down with two hands.
It dunked it,
yeah. I'm thinking, wow, this is, where'd that come from? You know, I was like, whoa, this is how good everybody is. I mean, I'm just shocked by that. You know, it's impressive. The defensive level that everybody's playing at is just amazing to me. I mean, I just can't believe the quickness. I just really enjoy it.
You know, everybody doesn't know this, but I got the privilege 1 year, and hopefully we get to do it again soon, of sitting through, I don't remember what it was, 24, 25 games together and at the tournament and just watching them. I have team after team and all this talent. It was unbelievable, the level of athlete at the NAI level when you see these 32 teams come together. To me, it was just mind-boggling. And that was the year that Union had all those athletes, and they ended up winning the national championship. Just, do you remember how good they were, athletic they were?
And I just give a credit to their coach there. I can't imagine how difficult that is to bring that kind of diversified talent and individualism into a team game that he did with that team. And it was impressive. I mean, he was coach of the year for NAI Division II that season, and rightfully so. I mean, he had those kids playing together. It was really amazing.
Yeah, because they were all just one and 2 year guys in the program.
Yeah, yeah. And brought it all together for a special moment, you know, to win it all. And that's what's so neat about this. I'm just, the talent level is just unbelievable. I'm really thankful this year with the messed up schedules and everything, how many mid-major NCAA Division I's programs have been able to fit in schedules. I would really thank them for doing that. I think there's been a lot of teams got to play like four, five, six, and the distance, the separation is not anything. It's quite stunning, the talent level that there is. And I think it's a real shock. I think some of these Division I coaches probably sit and look at some of their assistant coaches and goes, who are these guys?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. You look at the stats after the game. I mean, there is not a separation between it. It is really shocking. And, of course, right now, you know, we're living like every season, but we're living through some really special players. You know, I'm thankful that those conferences have been able to play a lot, so I've got to watch this online, so it's been entertaining.
Well, you know, right now, you and I have talked about it several times, but, you know, Indiana Wesleyan has just captured everybody's imagination, and they're very, very deep. I think most people have seen them play by now, but there's several teams that are just lurking there in the background that people aren't talking about. I don't know too much about William Penn, but I know they're playing very well. You've seen Georgetown play. Talladega is very, I'm going to miss a bunch, but Faulkner is undefeated. There's a lot of good teams. I don't think this is going to be a full coronation for Indiana Wesleyan.
It's always hard to ride being number one. They're in a conference that's unbelievable. They have had a privilege to be able to play, and this thing has been interesting because there's no fans, and that's difficult. Some conferences have been able to play. Some haven't at all. It's hard to get a bearing on it. William Penn, I watched them a little bit. One game. I mean, there's so many teams. It's hard to follow everything. Of course, you know, they're coming up into those that can play. They're coming up into the meat of conferences here after the New Year, so that's always a telltale right there, how where things going prior than the preseason. But Indiana Wesleyan, you always ask the question, you filled the cupboard. Well, yeah, they're deep. I really look forward to it because of new rankings. You had number one at number five, Arizona Christian. And what sealed the deal for me, I think, it just summed it up. Close game in the first half. Arizona Christian is up by four at halftime. I don't know what went on in Indiana Wesleyan's locker room, but they sort of cleared that issue up in the first 40 seconds of the second half and were up by, I don't know what, and never looked back. And they're deep and they're just balanced. I mean, the kind of talent that there is right now just makes a Mangus and Maxwell just even blossom more. I'm just shocked by it. I've got to watch some neat stuff this year. I was going to bring up, I was excited about Huntington, you know, and they're 8-0. And
did you see that game with Mount Vernon Nazarene?
Mount Vernon had not been able to play the whole time. I don't know if it was their first or second game. Mount Vernon is tough team every year, but you don't know where they're at because they hadn't really played. It's at Huntington, tight game right down to the end. Huntington's by one. Mount Vernon's got the ball. They take a shot with about 3 seconds left to give them time to put back. There's 10 guys on the floor, and a person always has to remember what the most improbable can't happen, will happen. What happens? Kevin Knox gets the ball on the baseline, and I remember specifically looking at my screen as he spun and pitched this thing higher than the backboard. I said to myself, I go, oh boy, welcome to the crossroads, coach. Splat. Game over. Mount Vernon by one. I mean, the talent level we got going on, you just can't write a script like this. I know it's painful, but that's what's so special about this stuff. You know, the guy's clutch, and it's not the first time he's done that, and it's just wow. You know,
That's awesome. CT, welcome to the crossroads, coach. I could just see you screaming that at your TV screen.
Yeah, I just literally said it before it went through because I knew what was going to happen.
You know, it's just like, yeah, that reminds me of that Kyle, I think it was against St. Francis. I think it was on the road. And they got the ball in the corner. Everybody thought Mangus was going to take the last shot. They got the ball in the corner. They missed a three. Of course, it rebounds off to Mangus. No time to grab it and shoot it. He volleyballed it back into the basket. And, of course, it goes in. Of course, it goes in.
Of course. Well, it's going to. I mean, that's just the way it is.
You know, speaking of St. Francis, they're 10-1. You know, they were 6-1, St. Francis of Indiana, the Cougars. They were 6-1 before the rankings, when the rankings came out. And they've won four straight in just that stretch of time. So now they're 10-1 as well. Morningside, who I thought they had a chink in their armor, losing Tyler Borchers, and their guard play, you know, just it hasn't quite been, you know, I hate to say that, but it just doesn't quite look as like it was before. They're really missing that inside play, but they're 10-1. And then out of nowhere, without Ty Hoagland, Dakota Wesleyan is 10-1 as well.
Yeah, they're putting together a different look and a different team, and they're rolling. So, yeah, this is great. And we're going to find out where this goes through these tough conference games coming up for these teams that get to play. I did watch Georgetown game or two, and I think they've only gone down once at this point. They really balanced big to small. To me, right now, they've got a special player, freshman player. I think he redshirted last year, but his name's Devin Boyd. Watching him, he's got a real gift. He understands space and spacing. I'm just really stunned of what I saw from him. They've had some tough games. Of course, they're also in the Mid-South, so they're going to have a lot more of them coming up. I'll see where they go, but I wouldn't count them out by any means. They are very athletic, very balanced, well coached, and they're a dangerous team, but there's so many good ones I haven't got to even look at. There's only so much time on schedules,
and the two LSU programs, LSU Shreveport and as well LSU Alexandria. Well, whole LSU Alexandria I think has lost some games anyway. You can't count that. Those guys are always going to be there. I don't even know how to, you know, if you were going to handicap this thing coming down the stretch, I don't know how you would do it, because for one thing, not everybody's been able to play. And then it's so difficult to, you know, get any measure, right, between different conferences. I just don't know how you handicap this. But I'd like your opinion, because as I haven't been able to watch as much as normal because everybody knows I went back to work. But doesn't seem to me like we're seeing as big a separation between former Division One and former Division Two teams. I was expecting a bigger separation.
And I totally agree. I've been shocked by that too. I thought, again, it's hard to judge that because I don't know how many of them are. They are playing each other, I guess, through this preseason. But no, I'm surprised. It's pretty balanced and equal across the board. I'm not seeing any of the separation I thought there would be from it.
You know, if anybody, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you haven't watched Jamestown play, just watch at least one game, because you got to watch Mason Walters rebound. And I can't even explain it. The ball always just comes right to him. So he's either the smartest rebounder who's ever played small college ball, or he's the luckiest rebounder. It's one of the two. He never moves. The ball comes right to him. It's unbelievable. Have you watched them play?
Yes, yeah, I have. Boy, they have a nice arena there, too.
Oh, that's boy, they do. No
nice
kidding.
Facility.
I think Justin should build one of those in Klamath Falls.
You might need to make a road trip and go visit some of these places.
Well, are you going to go to Indiana with us when West Virginia plays Grace?
I will make it happen. So I was already looking into that. Excited to hear that. Blessed that I can pull some stuff off like that.
That'd be crazy if we could, instead of fly back there, do a road trip over the Rockies and go to the Corn Palace, Dort, Jamestown, and then head into Indiana. That would be crazy, huh?
Well, if we can get all the conferences teams to actually spread out the nights of playing, so there's like a game every night someplace within a couple hundred miles, we could make this big 2 or 3 week sweep and get to see everybody. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it'd be. That would be amazing. Can you imagine that? Get to the Corn Palace and then to Neumann Arena, and then, of course, again, I'm going to leave people out, but then be able to get up over into Indiana and see games in some of these just amazing places. There are so many awesome places across the country to play basketball. I mean, I just think about in the Cascade. You know, you mentioned Warner Pacific. It's just a small gym. It's a short floor, a loud atmosphere. Same way with Northwest up in Seattle. And then you have kind of the opposite with Oregon Tech and College Idaho. You know, big arenas, the crowds on top of you. You go to Eastern, again, it's just like a pit. You know, the crowds just right on top of you. There's arenas like that all across the country, and they all have their own special atmosphere.
That's what makes it so great. And that's what I look forward to paying attention to. I'm just a big fan. Just really enjoy it. And we've got such good quality players out there. And I'm just really amazed by all the interviews you've done. I've enjoyed it so much. And I think everybody out there listening to you will admit, we've missed you, Billy D, for 4 weeks. Where have you been? We missed you. But I always think every day, I always like to go through life, and I like to learn something new every day. And I'm not talking about just basketball, just something new every day. I think it's just a good life lesson. You always feel good when you learn something new, even something silly, but just something new. All the coaches, I have to admit, I cannot believe the quality out there. And I have learned something. I had the privilege of playing for what, you know, somebody will say is the greatest there is. But I have learned something from every one of them, and I just want to thank you for that and thank them. And I think that's what's so neat about this too. You've presented a platform where people can talk and talk about important things. I've just learned so much from it, and I've learned something from each and every single one. Doesn't matter who it is, I've actually learned something really serious, something not so serious, whatever it is. I've learned something from everyone, and I think it's just a great testament to the kind of quality players and coaches that we have in NAIA. And I thank you for, you know, presenting that to all of us and giving them that platform. It's just been really, really nice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think it's a It's quite an honor, actually, to be able to talk to all these coaches. And I enjoyed talking to the coaches, but I really enjoyed talking to the graduating seniors at the end of last season. That was really special. Those interviews are all still up on Anchor if you haven't heard those, but I consider it an honor. You know, I've threatened to get you on here for a long time. Anybody who follows on Twitter has heard me talk. Whenever I learn anything, it's usually from you, and I always give you credit. Because CT's the guy who says, hey, you got to look at so-and-so, or hey, have you looked up this guy, or hey, have you looked up this guy? He's quite a basketball mind. I appreciate all your help. But he also says he wasn't a very good basketball player, but just for the record, he still holds a three-point record at Oregon Tech, and he's held it for 30 years. And you know how many good players have come through Oregon Tech, so don't let this guy fool you. Oh, just like, you know, we got to talk about the night that just one night we were bored, and one of us called the other, and where did we go?
We go to Multnomah. It's one of those midweek games that you're just playing your team that you generally travel with on the weekend, because we play weekend games. I don't even know who called who. I called you. What are you doing? Okay, you called me. What are you doing? Okay, well, Warren Pacific's playing at Multnomah. Okay, we're bored. What is it, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, or something like that?
Yep.
And that's close to where we live, so we go there. We watch this. Well, how did we know? Again, another script that can't be written. Justin Martin, all 5'10", what'd you say?
In elevator shoes.
In elevator shoes. Goes off for 71 that night. Now, whoever gets to, I don't care what level you're playing at, if somebody scores 60 or 70 points, they're good. And this kid is making, what, half-court shots? And the beauty of it was, not for Warner Pacific, unfortunately, is he won the game with the final floater shot, and he actually missed two free throws, which he never misses. He missed two free throws in like the last 40 seconds, or he could have had like 75. But who gets to see somebody score 71 points? I mean, we were there. I remember looking at those stats, and I mean, snapping my head around, telling people, going, he's got 65. He's got 66. Where's this going? There's 2 minutes left in this game. He's got 70. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, I thought he was going to break Freeman. Freeman Williams played at Portland State, and I think he scored 83 or 85 one night years ago, and I thought he was going to break Freeman Williams' record. He didn't. He ended up cooling off toward the end of the game, but this is how smart I am about basketball, because he started out, Justin Martin, he shot like, you know, first 25-footers, and then he was shooting 30-footers, and then he was shooting 35-footers, and then he was shooting 40.
Yeah, then he really got warmed up to 35.
Yeah, yeah. Or 40-footers. Wow. He was shooting from the volleyball line. And I keep looking at CT, and I go, I just keep letting him shoot. And he just kept
hitting. Well, he kept making them.
Yeah, he didn't miss. And they finally, what he would do is if somebody, he's a really quick ball player, and if somebody would come out on him, he'd get into the lane, and he would lay it up. So they had a hard time guarding him, but they finally started, I don't know how to say this politically correct, but they started popping him a little bit when he went down the lane, and he didn't really care for the contact that much, and it cooled him off just a little bit. You remember that, CT?
Yeah, he was getting knocked around pretty good, but he needed to be. He was too hot. They had to do something. He wasn't bouncing up as quick as he was earlier in the game, but.
Not that we're advocating that.
I know. And the thing is, you know what? I don't think they could have pulled it off given another 10 or 15 seconds in that game, because Warner finally got back on pace and just closed that gap right to a final shot situation. But you just can't make that up. We got to see that live. I mean, wow.
And then the other I shouldn't bring it up, but I'm going to. The other really cool experience I've had with you watching basketball is we were back at the national tournament, and Union had that point guard who ran his mouth all the time, and I started giving it to him, and he made a career out of coming over and harassing me before the game, and you guys aren't going to believe this, but during the game he would come over and jaw with me during the game during play, and you know, people would come up to me and say, what did you do to that guy? And he just comes up, and I was kind of a special project of his, but that guy was absolutely unshakable. We were sitting,
yeah, you, you.
I tried
He'll
to shake
back at that and say thank you, because it just motivated him.
It absolutely did.
Yeah.
CT, do you remember he was shooting a three-pointer? It was really down to crunch time in one game, and two guys were running at him, and he was in the corner right in front of us, and we were in that second row. I mean, right there. And he lifted up to shoot, and I made this big hoo sound as loud as I could, and he just drilled that three-pointer with two guys just flying at him, and he popped up, and the ball's still in play. He made it. They were going the other way, but he took time to turn around to me. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he goes, hoo,
oh,
hoo,
yeah.
Hoo.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go to the – I had to leave because I was working, and I couldn't go to the championship game. And you said when they came out on the court for the championship game, the first place he came was to our seats.
He was looking at me. I had to point and say, this seat's empty now. But, no, what if they had a special team there that was quite a run for them. I get it. I sit back, and I'm thinking about you mentioned earlier, not you asked all the players – that graduated last year, how to feel, where were you at, what happened when the tournament got canceled, and some got to play, somebody got to take the final shot of all time with NAIA Division II. Where were you? Well, I know where I was at. I was walking down just off the airplane in the Minneapolis airport when I got your tag on the text. They just pulled the plug on it, so... My story is I got to fly to Minneapolis to have steak dinner and get back on a plane and fly home.
Well, hopefully, everybody knows we can't play basketball out here in the Cascade, but it'll just make basketball that much sweeter next season.
And everybody's going to be faster and quicker and stronger and smarter and more motivated than ever. And there'll be some good that comes from this for everyone. Just looking forward to the future of it.
Well, CT, I really appreciate you being on the show. Just so everybody knows, I had to twist his arm a little bit, but no, it was great. I really appreciate it, and you making part four of our Christmas special, and I'm glad you could be part of it.
Well, thanks for having me on. Good luck, and we will see each other at a game at some point.
Hopefully very soon.
Take care.